In the words of the Lord's Apostle Paul in his first letter to the Corinthians, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're meditating this morning on select verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple. Do not deceive yourselves. If any one of you thinks he is wise by the standards of this age, he should become a fool, so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight, as it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. So then, no more boasting about men. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours, and you are of Christ, and Christ is of God. This is the word of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord, and in you we hope. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, our newborn Savior, dear presence of God, when you see a theme like this sermon theme, you get all the presence. Does that take you back to those years when underwear and socks just wasn't a real exciting Christmas present? And maybe if you got that Tonka truck or that beautiful Barbie doll, that would light your eyes up like nothing else. There must be an awful lot of people who want to relive what they call the magic of Christmas this year. Because all of a sudden, that 1983 movie is popular. Our family hadn't seen it before, and now it's all over the cable. Look up, do a Google search on A Christmas Story, the movie. There are nearly 3 million hits. And the first one says, A Christmas Story, lamp, A Christmas Story leg lamp. You know what that's all about. Some people do. They're lining up this year, I've been told. They lined up this year to get leg lamp ornaments. Probably one of the most ugly ornaments you ever saw. But if you saw the movie, you know that that's what the dad won. The leg lamp, the major award. That's what got him all excited. But little Ralphie just wanted a certain BB gun. And nothing else under the tree interested him at all. Now, doesn't that just illustrate something about the way we are? That one thing that we cannot have is the thing that we want the most. And the more we can't have it, the more we obsess about it. That one thing. So what do? When God comes along and he sees in us this envy that gets the best of us at any age. Because after you get that one thing, you find out always that someone else has something better. The BB gun that shoots farther or straighter. The bigger car, the nicer house. Envy is a sin that can never be satisfied. But don't we try hard? So how do we get a theme like this? What does this mean? You get all the presents? Can that possibly be true? We go to God for help. in the midst of our time of envy. You get all the presents. You know, you take a Christmas tree like that, and it won't do much good to put all the presents under that tree or load it down with ornaments if you don't take care of the stand first. I can remember one year loaded with lights, just heavy and beautiful, and then you come in a while later and there the thing is lying over on the floor. You just can't hide it if you don't take care of a good solid stand. That was a good picture of Christmas at Corinth. Shiny congregation just loaded down with gifts and talents. Top heavy with envy. It was everybody, you might say, trying to get a leg up on everybody else. They're just sick with envy. So you go back to the early part of this letter, and one is saying, I follow Paul, and another says, I follow Apollos, I follow Peter. That's kind of like those old-fashioned stands that had the bolts in the side. How well is that tree going to stand up if you tighten one bolt and loosen all the rest? Or like some people were trying to do, just loosen all the bolts, stand the tree up there, and by some miracle it'll stand by itself because I follow Christ, as if no one else did. That was the story of the congregation. Top heavy with shiny Christianity that didn't go to the heart of love from Christ. So what do you do for a child that's sick with envy? Give him everything he wants? Even grandparents will pay a heavy price for spoilage. What about an adult? Should God give us everything we want? So why do we say, you get all the presents? Who's he talking about? First things first, we let the Holy Spirit take us back to the beginning of the letter where he starts to expose the problem of the tree tipping over with envy. The Lord says through his apostle Paul here back in chapter 1, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no divisions among you and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. The tree is tipping. Let's get it back on a solid stand. So three chapters later, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, a solid stand. And someone else is building on it. That would be Apollos. He had gone to Corinth after Paul left there. Someone else is building on it, but each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if you know the story of Paul, you know why he says grace here. Because back when his name was Saul, he was trying, for all he was worth, to build a different foundation besides Jesus Christ. Anything but that one he thought was an imposter from Nazareth in Galilee. So he was persecuting Christians to try to build a different foundation. But God's grace broke through, got to his hard heart, turned him around, convinced him Jesus Christ was born and lived and died as the great Messiah and rose again as promised by God. And he's the only foundation. So the Lord's apostle Paul said, it was grace that got through to me. The solid foundation for which there is no other, only Jesus Christ. Why try to build a different foundation? And why worry, good Christians, about who brings that message to you about that foundation of Christ? Does it really matter who the messenger is? That's what he's asking these Corinthians. You get all hung up on the personalities and the talents. For instance, if you hear the noise outside the house and the delivery truck is pulling up to the house, do you worry about whether that's a UPS truck, a FedEx truck, or speedy delivery? Or is what's going through your mind, is that for me? Right? Are you more concerned about what the name of this delivery man is so that if he comes up to the door and his name is Ralphie, you just won't take the gift? See, it doesn't matter. And it was foolish for these Corinthians to go back, as it would be for us today, and think, well, we have to have this entertaining speaker. It has to be this certain way, like the people in Ezekiel's time. He sounds good. So they would sit and listen, the Lord said, like someone playing an instrument, a rock star that really sounded good. And that's what they focused on, that message. And you know how it is. A messenger can come along and just tell people all those wonderful things about how they can get more things from God if they just follow this technique, this how-to Christianity or that. And so the Lord's own servants end up trying to lay a different foundation, and there's no solid stand there. The tree can only topple. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation, and as an expert builder, there is no other foundation than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. With that foundation, you get all the presents, as long as there's a solid foundation. Remember that scene, if you saw the movie, where Ralphie finally snaps? It's not a pretty scene when they keep showing him with his friends running through the alley and the bullies are chasing him. But they finally get to the day where they catch him. They push him just a little bit too hard. And all the neighborhood kids are standing there watching with their mouths wide open while Ralphie's just pounding the daylights out of this kid. It's a lot bigger than he is. And it takes his mom to come and pull him off. The bully had to get rescued by Ralphie's mom. And Ralphie had to get rescued by his mom that night at supper from his dad. Did you ever stop to think about how God cut loose on our enemies? How God snapped? You know why? If you listen to this verse from the Lord's Apostle Paul here, he says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple? And that God's Spirit lives in you. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple." When the Lord came out as the Christ of God, he came to do battle. He came to do battle with the enemies of our souls. And God takes it personally if someone tries to come and build it on a different foundation and pass off his own opinions as if they're God's truth. Preachers like that might just as well, you know, fly the flag for hell and wear a badge for Satan, because the Lord takes it personally. He wants his word put forth in his way, his truth, and focus on the message and not on the messenger. So the Lord took it personally. The Lord cut loose on our enemies. The Lord came and lived and died and gave his life so that he could, with anger and venom, stomp on Satan's head. That serpent that came and tempted our first parents to sin met his match in the Christ of God. He let Satan bite his heel in order that he might crush the serpent's head. So do not deceive yourselves. If any of you thinks he is wise by the standards of this age, he should become a fool, so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight, as it is written, "He catches the wise in their craftiness, and again the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise that they are futile." This doesn't sound wise or logical to our human minds, that the Lord would let his own son be attacked. It was a different way that God had to save us from our sins. God let his son suffer and die. But the feelings of God afterwards would be like Ralphie's mom when she sees him finally fight back. She's not going to scold him for that. She's just got the cool rag for on his neck, and she tells him to lie down for a little while, and then he just got into a fight, and he finally fought for himself. Jesus had to fight for us and give his life for us. And the Heavenly Father, in great love, is glad to see his son rise again from the dead to give us life eternal. He catches the wise in their craftiness. All the ways man thinks that we should be saved, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise that they're futile. So stop it, you Corinthians, he says. No more boasting about men or about people. All things are yours. This is God's solution to our sin of envy, to wash the sin away with his holy precious blood and leave no room for envy in our hearts. He says all things are yours. He gives us this scenic sanctuary in the mercy and grace of God. Scenic sanctuary with your cell phone, that new cell phone. Or the beautiful cottage on the lake. Or that German road car on the Autobahn with nobody else there. All these blessings are yours. Granted, we don't get to enjoy them all at the same time, all at once. Go look in your closet sometime. How many of those clothes can you wear at the same time? Does that mean that the ones that aren't being worn are not yours? All things are yours because they all belong to our Heavenly Father, and He owns them all. They don't belong to us, really. They belong to God, but since they're His, those things that we envy so much, they don't really belong to the people using them now. It's just a matter of eternity. In time, God will not let anything come between us and Him. Instead, He gives us the gifts that money can't buy, like friends and loved ones to talk to on the cell phone so that you don't have to fake it when you're in stores. Or act like somebody wanted you to call when really they couldn't care less. Or be worried about what might be said on the other end of the line when you get that call on your cell phone. Those blessings of peace and hope that we have so that when God gives us the cottage by the lake, we can actually sit there and enjoy it as God's blessing and His grace and not feel guilty. And the love that cares more for others so that we're glad to share the road and stop and help those who get stranded along the way. Those are the greatest gifts. And when God washes the envy out of our hearts, then He gives us time and talent and presence galore so that we can take care of others around us. His blessings. So whether Paul or Apollos or Peter or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours. He gives us life by giving us His death. He secures our death by giving us His life. He takes care of our present by taking our guilt away and secures our future by saying we can live with Him forever. All those things are yours. And you are of Christ. In other words, you belong to Christ. And Christ belongs to God. Remember that prayer that Jesus prayed just before He died, the high priestly prayer. He said, Father, I want those You have given Me to be with Me. Do you understand that? Who are the presents? I want those You have given Me to be with Me. He wanted us so bad that He was willing to die for us. And God in His love was willing to give us to Christ as His presence. As you think about Christmas's coming and going, think about that. And let God wrap you up in His own loving arms and put you under the tree for Jesus. Let your heart be that quiet sanctuary, the scenic sanctuary for the Lord Christ. Jesus, I'm yours. You get all the presents. Amen. Please rise.